Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, a Wednesday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Sterling Holmes, Jack Johnson, Dylan Michaels. Heading up until 2 o'clock the next 4 hours, we've got you. Boy, a different show than I thought we'd be doing yesterday when we signed off at 2 o'clock. A couple of different reasons. One, MacArthur getting hit in the ninth. And Rashee Rice allegedly hitting a photographer. It's going to be an interesting show. I'm a little tired, I'll be honest with you. I was up late last night. I was at the Lit Kitchen and Lounge in Dallas. Woo-hoo! That place gets wild. Sterling, you ever been there?
No,
oh,
not
man.
Yet. Not yet.
We went hard. Oof. Late night. Look, when you got an opportunity to go to Lit Kitchen and Lounge on a weeknight, I guess Sunday night, kind of weeknight, it's a school day the next day.
Sunday fun day.
You do what you gotta do. All right? Allegedly. I was allegedly at the Lit Kitchen and Lounge last night.
You know what I would
do? As far as you know.
You know what I would do, allegedly?
What's that?
If I was under an investigation for a thing, uh-huh, allegedly that you did else, that was also allegedly really, uh-huh, really bad.
Right, right.
I wouldn't go to a nightclub allegedly on a Sunday. I wouldn't go to a nightclub at all. I would stay at home.
Like at 2:30 in the morning or something?
Yeah, I would allegedly sit my ass at home.
Allegedly.
It might be the least populated then, though, on a Sunday night. If you've ever been out of the Sunday night, it's not that crowded. At least.
Oh, the Lit Kitchen and Lounge
maybe
on a Sunday night is
I've
the spot
been.
In Dallas.
He actually went for the kitchen. He went just for the kitchen and goes, I wanted some really good breakfast food at 2:30.
The man was trying to lounge.
He was trying to lounge. Yeah.
I mean, maybe allegedly the photographer got a little too close. You know? There is somewhat of at least an indication out there that that may have been the case. We'll find out. There will be more information that comes out about this. We'll be following it when it happens. We have a lot of things to talk about with that as it relates to the Chiefs, as it relates to Rashee Rice and other players that may be available. Just as a update on news or players that have been talked about, I've discussed Zay Jones since he was released by the Jags yesterday when the news came out of the alleged incident. I had tweeted out that I was already in favor of Zay Jones, even more in favor of Zay Jones. He is visiting with the Dallas Cowboys today, so he may not leave Dallas without a deal. But if I were the Chiefs, I'd be on the phone with Zay Jones' representatives. That's just me. We'll see if they do that. 913-912-4810. Royals end up blowing the game last night. I feel like that was the... If it wasn't the worst loss, it felt like that. If the Royals don't view it as the worst loss of the season, man, it felt like the worst loss of the season. Sunday was annoying and frustrating. You only recorded one out, though, in the ninth inning when Jonah Heim put one on the freaking foul pole. That was annoying. This one was infuriating, like annoying and infuriating. There were a couple of things yesterday that felt really infuriating. The Royals game last night, and hearing that Rashee Rice was allegedly involved in something else.
Allegedly.
There were some infuriating things that took place. So we will talk some Royals. Trevor Sikkema will be our guest coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk some Chiefs with him. He's the lead NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, the co-host of NFL Draft Stock Exchange, one of my favorite podcasts that's out there around the draft. Very good stuff. He was one of the people on the Pro Football Focus live draft shows. When we played the clip of Sam Monson, who was overly enthusiastic of the Chiefs drafting Xavier Worthy, And Trevor Sycamore was right along with him going, how did this happen? They let this guy get... So we'll talk with Trevor Sycamore. He gave the Chiefs draft grade an A. I'm interested to hear different reasons for that for Trevor Sycamore. And, you know, last week we had Matt Harmon on, who didn't have exactly the highest praise of Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs, which is one of the reasons why I was looking forward to having Matt Harmon on, is because it was a little bit of a different view than what has been sort of the consensus around Xavier Worthy. Trevor Sycamore will be along with the consensus, but there may be different reasons. We'll talk with him about the overall draft class of the Kansas City Chiefs, different draft picks, maybe some players that may make impacts. Mark Ross at NFL.com has his top 10 players in the NFL draft that are the best fits for immediate and long-term impact on a team. So we'll go through some of those. Obviously, Xavier Worthy's in there. We wouldn't care. So we'll talk about that as well. Did you see the odds for the next roast? Netflix got such a reaction from the Tom Brady roast that there's already talk of them planning a next one.
Dylan Michaels?
Dylan Michaels. That's the odds-on favorite. Shocking, I know. Shocking.
5 minutes long. Not a lot of material.
Yeah, well, he's a good guy.
Bragger.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
That's right. It's, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. He shows up, but not necessarily at the top. So we'll talk about that as well. 913-912-4810 is the text line. All right, let's start with Rashee Rice. It's the biggest news. Even though the Royals lost, they're still, you know, 2.5 games back of the Guardians and also the... the Guardians, but tied with the Twins, because the Guardians and Twins both lost yesterday, so missed a real opportunity yesterday, did the Royals. One strike away from pulling within a game and a half of the Guardians after they got smoked by the Tigers. But we'll start with Rashee Rice. We'll get into some Royals. We joke about the alleged stuff and everything, and you know, the more information will come out. My immediate reaction yesterday was just a simple, like, shaking of your head, like, what are you doing, man? If this happened, if you're involved in this, if you were the one that threw a punch, no charges filed. The photographer wasn't wanting to file charges, so there is an investigation. The police could file charges on his behalf, but he wasn't looking to press charges or anything on Rashee Rice. It was a swollen face for the photographer, according to the Dallas PD, so evidence of somebody being struck in the face by some object, whether that be a fist or a ground, whatever. It's just a shaking of the head of, man, how are you putting yourself in that situation? It just doesn't seem smart. And I have no idea if he's a bad dude. I don't know him. No idea. There are guys that seem like really good dudes that you might find out is not that great of a dude. It's why I've always said when it comes to athletes, boy, he seems like it. You won't ever hear me go, he's a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's a good guy. He's a bad guy. Oh, that's a really good guy. I don't know that. He seems like that. So that guy seems like a really good guy. I don't know Rashee Rice if he seems like a bad guy or seems like a good guy that makes bad decisions. This feels like it is closer to a pattern than just a unfortunate wrong place, wrong time situation for Rashee. It was 4 weeks ago that he met with the Dallas PD and turned himself in. He couldn't make it 5 weeks without his name being involved with the police in an investigation. That's just idiotic. Yeah. That's not wrong place, wrong time. That's putting yourself in a situation. If anything, you should be, go be more Kyler Murray. Just play video games all day. Just play. You know where Kyler Murray's not getting in trouble? At a nightclub. Because he's playing video games at 2:30 in the morning on a Sunday night. All right?
Well, Saturday night before the game.
Touche. Touche. But he's also not involved in an incident Saturday night before the game because he's playing video games, damn it. We joke about that, like, oh, how serious is he? But, like, you know, hey, if you were going out and enjoying yourself at a nightclub, I mean, 22 years old, guys live their life, 23, 24, whatever. You know, go live your life. I'm not judging somebody. We joke about going out. I'm not judging somebody. If he didn't have to work Monday morning and you and your friends want to go out to a nightclub on Sunday night, whatever. Go do it. But be smart about it. If something's taken place, then leave. Leave the scene, you know. Or don't go. Like, if you can't help yourself, if you don't know if you can be in a situation like that and walk away from something that may be frustrating you, then you can't put yourself in that situation. It's bad judgment. It's bad decisions. If it happened. All of this, by the way, is based on an if it happened. Yeah. So I don't want to say if it happened every single time. This is all based, this conversation is based on an if it happened in terms of punching. Being involved or around the incident, we know that happened.
Yeah.
Because he was there, and he's the initial suspect.
Again, if we didn't have the issue a month ago, you would have a much different conversation. Because, yes, when I was 22, I went to nightclubs on Sunday nights. This is what people do. This is what you do, especially when you most likely don't have to work the next day. It's the off season right now.
He's 24.
He's 24. Okay, well, still. You know what? No, I was not going to nightclubs when I was 24. Rasheed Rice, grow up. No.
I was still in college. I mean, whatever. Leaving college in 4 years is like leaving a party at 10 o'clock. It's just getting started, man.
All allegedly, but how do you even put yourself in the situation? Like, how do you even put yourself in a situation with an ongoing investigation happening when you're trying to prove to the team, and by the way to the NFL, that, hey, no, that was a one-off. Look, don't suspend me half the season, 12 games. Look, I learned my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned. I was in the wrong. I'm owning up. And then you go out and do this. Now, again, I also can understand where people are coming from. I've seen the Devontae Adams. Well, Devontae Adams pushed a reporter or a photographer.
Yeah.
And I don't think he got any games.
No.
Any games, right?
No.
But he also didn't have another issue looming over his head. What Devontae Adams, I'm not excusing, he probably should have gotten suspended a game or two. This is different. When you have another investigation pending over your head, and you're trying to prove to the NFL and your team that that was a one-off, this is brutal. This cannot happen. Again, all allegedly, but putting yourself in that situation is a non-starter.
Well, nothing ever good happens after, what, 2 a.m. at a nightclub?
Or midnight, or whatever. Who knows, depending on what takes place.
Are you my dad?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing, right?
Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson's my father. No, it's you.
You just have to remove yourself from a situation like that. And, you know, we hadn't even been done speculating about how many games he would get. We weren't sure if it would be 4 games, 8 games. You know, there's a report of, you know, more than half the season, maybe not all the way there. But here's the two incidents. They've both been just poorly judged on what I should be doing. I mean, drag racing in the middle of the day, going over 100 miles an hour, and then after you are trying to sort this through, I mean, what, million-dollar lawsuits right now? I mean, he's got charges on him, and then you're out at the nightclub into the wee hours of the morning, right? It was early Monday morning when this incident happened. I mean, even if this guy was provoking you, you have to know in the moment. What were you going to say?
That's a good point. Even if he's provoking you, because you mentioned he's not pressing charges,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Part of me wonders.
And he's a famous photographer. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I don't know what a famous photographer means.
Definitely not excusing Rice, and we have to wait for more information. But part of me is wondering, if he's not pressing charges, is this like a, he's getting up in his grill, like, Rasheed, what do you do? Like, and eventually he's not leaving. Rasheed's like, dude, you got to go. Like, stop this. I'm not excusing Rasheed Rice, but if you're not pressing charges, that to me is like, you might know you could have been in the wrong as well.
Or you're just not looking for money. You're not pressing charges because you're not looking for money. You know, stuff happens.
Sure.
Who knows what the motivation may be? I would also say that if this guy is a photographer and he's there sort of taking pictures of Rasheed Rice, he'd probably know the person that struck him.
Yeah.
So if the initial suspect in this is Rasheed Rice, after the Dallas PD talked to the alleged victim, he'd probably know who hit him if he's there taking pictures of Rasheed Rice and maybe other members. There's at least one report out there that there were other members of the media and different people there sort of taking pictures and seeing Rasheed Rice. And maybe, I don't know if he's famous. TMZ? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No clue what a famous photographer means. You know, I have no idea. I never heard of the guy, but whatever. Maybe he's famous in his family. You know, that people have different levels of fame.
And maybe, you know, Rasheed Rice was upset because of a picture's taken of him in a nightclub and it releases the next day, and mm-hmm. Amidst all of these things that are happening,
just living his life while these people are dealing with their injuries.
Yeah, he's out at a nightclub and he's partying. Mm-hmm. And like we said, we're to each their own. I mean, he's a big boy. He can make his own decisions. And that was just another poor decision. Now, again, all of this is the allegedly stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If this happened, but I mean, we're still trying to sort through this type of stuff. And you look at Rashee Rice and what his future could have held if none of this happened. You're going into this season after an incredible rookie year. You're going to get paid. That just feels like the natural thing. You're going to make a lot of money playing this game. You are with the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. And right now, you are seemingly blowing it. I mean, talk about an offseason. We bring up Kyler Murray. We trashed him for playing video games. He's doing what a lot of college kids or maybe fresh out of college do. You just play video games late into the hours. It's better than this decision-making, it seems like, right now with Rashee Rice.
The total cost of Rashee Rice's contract was $6.5 million. 4 years, $6.5 million. He's facing eight charges, multiple felonies, and two lawsuits equaling up to $11 million. And his four-year contract will be $6.5 million. His big payday comes after his rookie deal. Yeah. His big payday comes in 3 years. He couldn't figure out a month. I mean, 3 years from now. And this was my point yesterday when I said, I don't think you can count on Rashee Rice playing this year at all if you're the Chiefs. And the quick pushback was, hold on. I mean, this is still investigated, right? It's alleged. Innocent till proven guilty. He's not going to get a full season for this or whatever. That's not my point. My point isn't even like, okay, if this happened, is he going to get suspended for a full season? My point is, how do you trust the man if you're the Chiefs moving forward that less than five weeks after he turned himself into the Dallas PD, he's involved in something else? It's 2.5 months till training camp. I mean, I know a number of those days are going to be spent in Kansas City starting a week from Monday is the first round of OTAs, and then the Tuesday after that OTAs, and the Tuesday after that OTAs, and the Tuesday after that being the minicamp. And at that point, you'll have about 6 weeks from that final mandatory minicamp until training camp. And all this time, you'll have weekends away from Kansas City if you're Rashee Rice. You'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, do whatever you want. Then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, those mini camps, those OTAs. That's what the schedule is going to be starting in 2 weeks. So if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know what? Let's just play this clip from Andy Reid. It's clip number two in there. This was from April 15th, pre-draft press conference from Andy Reid. Brett Veach a little bit later on, but this is Andy Reid. He was asked, is there a loss of trust in Rashee Rice?
Well, yeah, listen, as long as he's learned from it, that's it. That's the important part of it. And, you know, we'll take it from there and see, you know, see what takes place. But right now we're just kind of gathering everything and trying to make sure we have all the bases covered.
As long as he's learned from it. And maybe he did. He's like, look, guys, I will not go 120 miles an hour anymore. I have learned from that. I will not do that. That was dumb. It was a bad decision. I have learned my lesson about speeding. I think you're missing the point, Rashee, on learning from it. Is learning from it and putting yourself in bad situations or making bad decisions. That's my point about even after that, the question to Andy Reid was, can you trust Rashee Rice when he makes this decision and doing something like that? And I'm guessing if that was taking place, it's probably not the first time he was doing that. I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it was. You got caught shoplifting. Ah, it's the first time I've ever done that. First time I've... What are the odds of that getting caught shoplifting the first time you ever did that? Parents, you caught your kid smoking weed. That's my first time I've ever done that in the house with the shoebox full of it. It was first time! What are the odds of that?
Well, you didn't know how to hide it, so let's be
real. It's first time getting caught.
Yeah, you didn't know it smelled that bad.
That's exactly right. But do you lose trust in him? Well, as long as he's learned from it. I mean, we're still gathering information, but as long as he's learned from that. Fast forward, that was April 15th, so 3 weeks later. Fast forward 3 weeks, and he's involved in this. That's my point about trust, is can you count on Rashee Rice being on the Chiefs this year at all? And the answer is no, because if James Palmer was saying the expectation from the Chiefs is maybe a half a season before this, and if Roger Goodell is going, okay, you've done everything in working with the Dallas PD, you've been honest, you're working everything you could possibly do. After leaving the scene of the crime, after doing that, now you've done everything you could possibly do. Okay, you're showing you're contrite, you're showing you're willing to own up to your mistakes. Okay, great. Maybe that will be a mitigating factor in what your penalty and suspension may be. And then this happens. But it's still 2.5 months away from training camp until he gets to St. Joe and he is the entire team is under the thumb of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Remember when he was not at what was Mahomes and the receivers doing? They had they were down there throwing and he wasn't there and we're wondering why he wasn't there.
It was
there.
Like the first week
it
or
was
so.
After.
It was after the car crash. It was first week or and so. And then he showed up a few days later.
Okay, so maybe it was too soon, but like you're not showing up for that, but if there's a nightclub situation, oh boy. Yes. Oh boy, 2:30 a.m. at the lit lounge
yeah.
and
lit,
kitchen.
Lit kitchen and lounge.
Lit
there's
kitchen
a kitchen.
Lounge. There's a kitchen involved, yeah. Oh baby, sign me up. Like, come on.
I think it's a trust thing now moving forward from the Chiefs to Rashee Rice.
It has to be a trust thing.
You good?
I mean, yeah, no, I'm
You're
almost
so choked up about this whole thing.
I get
thing,
choked
man.
Up again. The allergies are just really bad. I can't get them fixed. But, you know, this
you know,
is.
As long as you're learning your lesson about the allergies, Jack. As long as you're learning your lesson.
I do learn my lessons about them. I'll try not to do it again. But with Rashee Rice, I mean, how can you trust him? Even if, let's say it's, you know, 9 or 10 games. Let's say he stays on this roster. You get everything sorted out. Maybe it's not as bad as we think it is. But he comes back at this point. Are we just assuming that this is never going to happen again? I mean, this might have been a hot-tempered moment, but is he a hot-tempered person if he's provoked, if something like that happens? I mean, the Chiefs have a lot of players with high status. Travis Kelce's one of them. Patrick Mahomes is one of them. Chris Jones is one of them. I mean, when you have that type of high status, you're one of those players. I mean, you might be sought out by a random individual that could try to get under your skin to do something like this. And you have to know in that moment, I can't lose my cool. I can't jeopardize my situation here with the team because at the end of the day, I have to be there. I am one of the main contributors. I'm not some, you know, backup guy that could maybe get away with it. He was going to be one of the top receivers on this group, and clearly right now, that's all up in question.
He made $2.5 million last year in his first year in the NFL. And in total, he'll make $6.5 million, as I mentioned. This time last year, he wasn't cashing a check. He wasn't even signed yet this time last year. So going through the offseason last year, he didn't have the money to where he could spend $2,000 a day to lease a Lamborghini. He didn't have the money to do some of those things. And let me also just say this, because I think there's always an assumption when it comes to an athlete. So one of the opinions and takes yesterday around Rashee Rice was, man, you got to get him out of Dallas. Man, you know what? The people you hang around with can really impact who you are and the decisions you make. You got to stop hanging out with those guys. What if he's the issue? Why do we assume that his friends are the issue? Why don't we go, dude, your friends, you got to stop hanging out with Rashee Rice. And I know it's kind of cool because he's paying for everything and he's fronting everything and it's awesome and he's got money and bottle service. But man, you got to stop hanging out with him, okay? Because he's getting your ass in trouble. Why do we assume it's the friends that are getting the athlete in trouble and not the athlete that's bringing the friends along because he's kind of a jackass, you know? Like, I don't want to just assume that, boy, Rashee Rice, once he stops hanging out with those friends, then he's going to be perfectly fine. It's those friends. They're the bad influence on him. I mean, did the friend make him go 120? They were his cars. They were both his. I mean, if he was a passenger and the friend was speeding and it's like, dude, what the hell, man? I told you. Oh, my bad. That was dumb. You think he's okay with going 120 and his friend going 120 in another car, both of his cars? Of course he is. He's going 120. So maybe he's the issue. Maybe his friends need to stop hanging out with him. Maybe the guy that's also facing the same charges as Rashee Rice for driving the other car. Maybe his parents are going, I told you about Rashee Rice. I told you about hanging out with Rashee, didn't I? I told you. You're throwing your whole life away. You got things you can do. You're going to college. You can graduate. Now look at what happens. It was cool. Yeah, he's making a lot of money. I told you hanging out with Rashee Rice is going to get you in trouble. How do we know that's not the case? We assume it's the athlete that just needs to stop hanging out with his friends.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Is Seren up next? We done now?
It's weird. I don't know what to do right now. Do I stand?
What does high score mean?
You're at a loss of words is what you are.
Do I stand?
What do you do with your hands?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Well. That was a great point, one that I think we all should have thought of, and
Well, let's talk about...
I'm mad I didn't think of it first.
Let's talk about what the Chiefs do next. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when the Chiefs' situation they're in, what can they do? Can they sign somebody? Do they fix it in-house? Is there a connection with what the report from Jeremy Fowler on Saturday, whether it's a report or just a thrown-in little nugget about the Chiefs and Odell Beckham Jr., is that a connection in this in some way, shape, or form? Because obviously that took place before this. Does that lead us to believe something in the future or in the near future? We'll talk about what that means on the other side of the break. More Zone next. All right, we continue on this Wednesday edition of The Zone. We'll talk with Trevor Sikkema coming up at 11 o'clock, lead NFL draft analyst, Pro Football Focus, co-host of NFL Draft Stock Exchange. A few texts coming in, 913-912-4810. A lot of texts coming in. 913-912-4810, the text line to join us to be a part of the show. Text said, did Rice have any issues before being drafted while in college? I'll be honest, I didn't hear it of any, but after the fact, it seems like there are some things coming out after the fact of like, okay, well, this guy maybe had some red flags.
Didn't Steve Smith say something about
it
that?
Was
it not Steve Smith?
It was
Keyshawn.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yep. 913-912-4810. So there are some things that are coming out about that. But again, I don't know. It didn't seem to be a big enough thing that it was a consensus. This guy is this good, but red flags.
It wasn't Jermaine Burton. It wasn't Jermaine Burton.
First round talent, sixth round issues.
Yeah.
And let's see where he gets drafted. Third round, okay. Kind of makes sense. George Pickens, first round talent, sixth round knucklehead. Let's see where he gets drafted. Second round, okay. Chiefs didn't draft him. Tech says, not even the speeding part. It's the worst. Speeding part is the worst. It's leaving the scene. For sure.
Yes, 100%.
For sure. Yeah, I mentioned the going that fast, but the leaving the scene was ultimately the issue because that was, again, a decision that was made in the heat of the moment. And to me, I think the biggest issue now moving forward for the Chiefs is whether or not there is a trust for Rashee Rice that he will be available this year. So,
MVS.
Like I said, what do the Chiefs do now moving forward? I have been on the Zay Jones bandwagon since he was released by the Jags. I think he is a good receiver. And if he's your third or fourth receiver, I think you got yourself a damn fine third or fourth receiver, especially fourth receiver. You got yourself a good player. The Chiefs, according to Jeremy Fowler, Odell Beckham Jr., the Chiefs were appealing to him. Like he kind of liked what the Chiefs were offering. It was appealing. Buffalo a little bit, but ultimately chose Miami. And when it's ultimately chose Miami, it's, okay, there was at least a thought and a discussion about joining the Chiefs for whatever the price may be, however interested they may have been. But their interest level appealed to Odell Beckham Jr. If they were interested in Odell Beckham Jr. to where they were one of three teams mentioned at the end by Jeremy Fowler of Beckham deciding where he was going to go, wouldn't that lead you to believe that they would be even more invested in finding a receiver to come in now that Rashee Rice is involved in any way, shape, or form? Maybe not the culprit. Maybe he was just there and somebody else in his party, you know, threw a punch or whatever happened. Or pushed the guy and he fell and hit something, whatever it might be. Even if he was just there, it changes a little bit if he's just there and things happen. And it's like, well, Rashee Rice was there. All right. Is it a good decision to go to a nightclub? Well, I mean, it's 2:30 in the morning and him and his friends were laying low and somebody starts something with them and he doesn't do anything. I don't really feel like that's a lack of trust for Rashee Rice. It's like, why don't you lay low? Well,
it was kitchen and lounge.
Right, he was lounging, and it was connected to the speakeasy. which is right next door, you know? But if they were already interested in a receiver to some degree, then it would make you believe that they should be even more interested at this point with the unknown of what Rashee Rice might be this year and how many games he may be suspended. Because like we talked about, there are mitigating circumstances that take place when it comes to a suspension. And by the time Roger Goodell suspends Rashee Rice, we'll have found out what took place here after the investigation. I'm assuming that we'll have found out by then. It took like 3 days, 4 days before we found out the full information that Rashee Rice was driving the Lamborghini. They left the scene of the crime. One of his friends was driving the other. They were his cars. How much they cost to lease per day. Like, we found that out like 3 or 4 days. And that was a much bigger investigation because it was a multi-car crash where there were some injuries. So we'll see what happens. But to me, the Chiefs need to be even more interested in a wide receiver to bring in because their answer is not on this team. It's not Kadarius Toney. I think it's more Sky Moore than Kadarius Toney, quite frankly. I know they like Kadarius Toney, but they gave up a third rounder for Kadarius Toney. They gave up a second rounder for Sky Moore. So if you're looking at, well, you know, they invested a third rounder in Kadarius Toney. Yeah, and a second rounder in Sky Moore. So if we're looking at what they traded or used in a draft pick for a player, they've got more invested in Sky Moore. And so is Sky Moore the answer more than Kadarius Toney? I don't trust Kadarius Toney on the field. He hadn't done anything dumb off the field except for, you know, an IG live. Man, I wish that's all Rashee Rice was dealing with was having an IG live about I wasn't injured. You know, I mean, that would be great. You'd love for that to happen. Like, we talk about Kadarius Toney being a knucklehead and, you know, his issues are drops the ball, gets injured, and then goes on IG live and says that he's not injured. Those are the issues. He's not the answer. I don't think Sky Moore is the answer. I don't know that Zay Jones or Hunter Renfro or Michael Thomas are the answer, but I think you need more options to find out if they are.
Allen Iverson's the answer, but as far as a free agent wide receiver.
Hey, you know what? That's Paul Pierce. That's the truth.
I miss nicknames. Like, why don't play the big ticket for KG? Hunter Renfro, free agent.
Would Tyler Boyd have been the big ticket? No. Anyway,
but you're seeing a lot of these veteran wide receivers sign, OBJ, DJ Chark, Tyler Boyd. You know, I talked with some Raiders folk, and in regards to Hunter Renfro, it was a multifaceted approach. I think it was easy to blame Josh McDaniels and just say he's the reason that Hunter Renfro all of a sudden went from a 1,000-yard receiver to not seeing the field. And they said that is partially true, but part is on Renfro because what made him so valuable was his connection with Derek Carr and the fact that on a much minor scale, what Travis Kelce and Mahomes do, again, much minor scale here, you know how they have their own little connection where Kelce can run his own routes to an extent. He has his little breaking points and Mahomes will find him. That works when you are the number one option. Hunter Renfro for Derek Carr in those years was basically the number one option. Hunter Renfro had the ability in the offense to create, to have his own routes, and Derek Carr knew where he was going to be. Well, all of a sudden, Josh McDaniels comes in, Davante Adams comes in. Well, you can't do that anymore. You're no longer the number one. And so there was no room because, well, as great of a route runner as he is, his best skill set was being on the same page with Derek Carr. Well, guess what? Derek Carr's no longer there. Mm-hmm. So it was a multifaceted approach with Hunter Renfro. I do think it's interesting if he came to Kansas City, but when I was talking with a lot of Raiders fans and media, it was basically along the lines of, I wouldn't get your hopes up. It seemed like it was a flash in the pan. The connection was great, and that was all he was going to be. Allen Robinson, the other guy, he got old very quickly, right? Allen Robinson, at least you know he has sure hands, but he got old quick. Michael Thomas, we're looking Josh Gordon style now as far
that's
as...
That's the exact name that I thought of with Michael Thomas, is that feels Josh Gordon. It feels a name that is just not... is just a shell of what he once was.
And then Zay Jones is the other name that I think we're all in agreement. I don't know what, Jack, your thoughts here. I think Zay Jones is the name that makes the most sense, even if the name's not quite the same as Michael Thomas or Allen Robinson. I do wonder, and I don't like it, but part of me wonders, like, legitimately, is MVS or Mecole Hardman going to be back on this team just because they know the playbook?
I think it's a great point of the in-house candidates, but also the familiarity point of it, because we always feel like Kansas City, Brett Veach. They're going to go after the guys that we all want. Zay Jones feels like the top candidate. At least that's what I'm gathering here from this conversation.
For me, it is.
Yeah, I think Zay Jones is a great option. I think he's visiting Dallas today or might have been yesterday.
It's
last 24 hours. Let's put it at that. But the Chiefs have always been notorious for going back to guys that just know their playbook. We hear all the time about Andy Reid and the complexity of his offense, of the playbook, and sometimes they lean on, let's go after the guy that knows it. And even though MVS isn't going to come in and be the 800, 900-yard receiver, they know what he gives them. Same thing with Mecole Hardman. Like, Mecole Hardman could come in week six, and he knows exactly the plays that they are running. It's just as common sense for those type of players. So that's what I'm wondering if Brett Veach and company are looking at. More so of, do we bring in a guy now? There's still plenty of time to learn the playbook. But is it going to be, let's go after Zay Jones, let's go after Hunter Renfrow, Michael Thomas, because they may be the most talented guy out there? Or are they going to say to themselves, well, MVS does know the playbook. He does know Patrick Mahomes well. Same thing with Mecole Hardman. Or do you go to Patrick Mahomes and say, what are you thinking right now? Do you feel this offense is good enough to get through the first 10 to 11 weeks without Rashee Rice? Hell, who knows how long he's out? That's the thing. We didn't even get done speculating about the crash scene. Now you have this. So who's to say he doesn't miss the entire year? Who really knows at this point? But I feel like you got to go to Patrick Mahomes and ask him point blank, do you think you can get this done with Hollywood as your number one? With, let's be honest, Xavier Worthy is the number two. I mean, Travis Kelce's the number one pass catcher.
Oh, it's going to be Justin Watson. Just you wait.
He'll get his targets for sure. He'll get his targets. But then you get down the list of Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney. So basically adding Hollywood Brown and the unknown of Xavier Worthy, is that good enough to get it done until Rashee Rice is back? Because he kind of became, next to Travis Kelce, the security blanket last year. That's a big hole in your offense. Does Zay Jones fill that? Does
Jared Wiley, baby, 12 personnel, 13 personnel now.
Hardman can't get his number back, so maybe we cross Hardman off the list. But we see the Chiefs do this all the time. It's like, oh, we want them to go after OBJ, right? OBJ makes a lot of sense. And they'll pivot to Mecole Hardman. I mean, that just feels – I feel like at this point – MVS has above a 50% chance of coming back at this point.
No, don't say. They can't bring MVS back because Jaron Hayek, the Villanova receiver that they just signed, he was a tryout candidate.
Yeah.
He took number 11.
Wasn't MVS 83? So he had to take Noah Gray's number.
No. Wait, no, you can't take Noah Gray. No, 83. It's already taken Noah Gray.
Dylan, is OBJ now in the Patrick Peterson Chiefs lore territory of how many times they think the Chiefs fans are going to get this guy?
It has been back-to-back years. Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey in the flight watch.
Josh Allen, the defensive end from Jacksonville. He's like a top ballot.
Honorary.
Here's where I think Zay Jones may come into play. But again, he's meeting with the Dallas Cowboys today.
He's meeting with Dallas today after meeting with the Titans and the Cardinals. So now that's
they met with the Titans
teams.
And then they signed Tyler Boyd.
So that's probably.
So yeah. I would imagine because are they trading? There's been talk about whether or not they want to trade Treylon Burks. If they don't trade Treylon Burks, got four receivers.
Okay, hear me out.
I'm not going to hear you out on Treylon Burks.
I'm a huge Treylon Burks supporter.
Okay.
No. Am I a dumbass? I mean, don't answer that.
Depends on what the cost acquisition is. Again, it always depends on that. But
I lost two guys their jobs. So you know,
yeah,
AJ Brown's in Philly, and
it's
Mike Vrabel and the other guy.
It's
are not
clear.
Working.
It's clear what the current regime thinks of Treylon Burks.
Cinema Sky Moore
signing.
Cinema Sky. It's the old player for player trade.
Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd.
There you go.
They are signing guys that will be above Treylon Burks in the pecking order, but like different names that are out there. So Tyler Boyd has been signed. So is Zay Jones. Is he going to sign with the Cowboys? I don't know. But to the point of MVS familiarity, Mecole Hardman familiarity, the last 2 years, Zay Jones has played with Doug Peterson. So how much is that he's familiar with somewhat of the verbiage, at least a little bit, how much that has changed, but the verbiage and the general understanding of scheme, I would say, has an easier translation for Zay Jones playing the last 2 years with Doug Peterson's offense.
And to your point on that, too, what's great about the way the NFL's going with the Shanahan offenses, the Sarkisian, as Xavier was saying, is that there's a lot more of that there's a lot more to pick from. But Zay Jones, to your point, a lot easier.
Yes. Yeah. Played with Doug Peterson.
Is right under.
Yep, played with Doug Peterson the last 2 years. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Continue rolling. More Zone next.
right, wrapping up this hour, we'll talk with Trevor Sikkema coming up on the other side of the break at 11 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft, the Chiefs draft, Xavier Worthy. Also, talk about Kingsley Suamataia, and we will discuss Jared Wiley, Jaden Hicks. He also is a big fan of Hunter Norzad. So we may bring that up as well. Somebody that hasn't really got a lot of play and conversation around here because a fifth-round interior offensive lineman typically doesn't bring a lot of the conversation, doesn't bring a lot of the juice to the station, to the takes, to the debates, to the excitement. First-round wide receivers, now we're talking. Fifth-round interior offensive lineman, solid. Solid pick. So we'll talk with Trevor Sikkema about a lot of different things with the draft that comes up next here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.